back. And Joe, if I were to ask you, Joe, what is one of the best known medical authorities or voices that I'm listening to in the country when it comes to writing the journals? And you might add, you might say, well, what about Dr. Peter McCullough? And you'd be right. He is one of the best known.
He's one right up there.
Yeah, well, anyhow, they've done a study on people that have taken the vax. And it's there's a clip, but I'm not going to play the whole clip because he gets into a lot of terms and things that people, the average person out there listening, probably wouldn't understand. But we're going to play a clip of him because it's what we've been telling people about this vax. But before we get into that, and by the way, he has been the Lancet Medical Journal. In other words, the deep state people said, hey, you better pull that down, pull that study. Too many people are finding out about this. Big Pharma's got big money to spend to spread. And they've got all of the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, willing to stand and tell whatever lie they're told to. They just call it a narrative. But anyhow, I wanted to go back to the article we read about Joe Biden. Let's American military info slip very quickly. Folks, what they do is like what Bill Gates has done. When he'll talk to you about something, like he's come out recently with all those mosquitoes. And he's talking about how mosquito could be the number one enemy as far as could eliminate mankind. Well, Bill Gates has been killing people for a long time. He's done it with his billionaire. He's done it with the vaccines. This is a part of the depopulation. But they tell you kind of what they're going to do, but they twist it. They'll tell you that this vaccine will help save lives, but then they'll add a little later on, but there's going to be some people that they can't take it or are allergic to or whatever. But the whole point of it is Bill Gates has killed thousands and thousands, possibly millions of people with his vaccines, just like what they do with killing children, killing babies, preborn babies. They don't call it killing preborn babies. They call it a woman's choice, folks. And so what they're doing is they're saying, look, you'll take away, if you tell them what you're going to do to them, then when it happens and they get used to it, there's no recoil. They won't react violently. They kind of, they've been stupid. Now, America is starting to awaken. The parents are finally realizing, Joe, what we've been telling them since the 70s, you know, about the cultural Marxism and the public fool system and all that.
I got two or three articles of people starting to get real angry, fighting back, and that's what we need to see, from sea to shining sea, from, you know, the mountains to the plains. We need people fighting back, standing up and saying, no, I'm not going along with this. No, I'm not going to be tolerant. No, I don't believe in diversity. No, I want the Constitution, and I want to abide by the commandments of God. That's what we need, people to be willing to stand and testify.
I didn't catch the whole story, but last night, I got a clip of the news, and they were saying how there, I believe it's in North Carolina, they've got a county there. And when people move into, they ask them to pledge, each homeowner, each house that's built, every new house, to pledge that they will fly the American flag. And I think that is...
That's the kind of thing we need to see, yep.
Send
the liberals to San Francisco and Detroit and let the cities collapse, and we'll be fine out here, away from that mess, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, so people are starting to awaken, and they're starting to push back, and we've got to do that. Now, here, when it comes to Dr. Peter McCullough, he's going to be telling you about, and we want to keep getting out. Today, I ran into two people, and we were talking about, now, we've been telling people, remember Joe, 3 weeks before the first shot, the first person had a shot, remember, we told them, don't take it. They're not vaccines. These are bioweapons. All the test animals have died. 3 weeks before the first ones were given the shot.
Well, because it wasn't a vaccine. It was an experimental thing messing with RNA, DNA, and that is not a vaccine and the way vaccines work.
And I had people saying, well, we trust our doctors. Well, now I'm running into the same people that are telling me how they had violent reactions to the vaccines. And I said, you still...
people would testify, but they can't because they're not here.
Right. And so I've had, a couple who I've known for a long time say, well, you know, from now on I'll listen to you. And so, because we warned them. Well, anyhow, let's hear a little bit from Dr. Peter McCullough about some of what's happening with people that have taken that shot.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to American Thought Leaders Now, our spin-off series of the original American Thought Leaders program. Today, our very special guest is Dr. Peter McCullough, of course, a regular of American Thought Leaders. He has been involved in a recent study that was put on a preprint server. It disappeared later. We'll talk about that. But the study is looking at autopsy reports of basically deaths that look like they came from the vaccine, and they did a rigorous analysis. Dr. McCullough, what did you find?
This was an important study. Let me give you some context. I was contacted by a graduate student at the University of Michigan School of Public Health, where I'm an alumni. And we had an approved project through the School of Public Health to do an examination, a systemic review of all the autopsies that had been published in the peer-reviewed literature. So we used a standard was called PRISMA methodology, where we searched for every paper possible. We sorted through hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts because deaths can be reported as different clinical syndromes are coming out after the vaccine. We arrived at 44 papers, 325 autopsies. Then we took each one of the autopsy results out and we put it as a single line item with all the clinical description. And then we submitted that to adjudication, a blind adjudication. Three doctors who were expert in looking at pathologic specimens all had bona fide evidence in the autopsy lab. And then we came to a, you know, an agreement on the cases, and we found that 73.9% of all the cases, it was either the vaccine as the direct cause of death or it significantly contributed to the death. The deaths occurred within a week or two after taking the last shot, and far more than 50%, the single cause was a cardiovascular cause of death.
And just to clarify something, you know, these 325 cases, of course, a quarter of them you were indeterminate, or what were the criteria that determined these 325 cases you looked like exactly?
Well, that's a good question. Who didn't die of the vaccine? Well, there were deaths where there was an auto accident or a suicide, or there were some cases in nursing homes where people are on hospice and it looked like they were in their last days of life. And honestly, we just couldn't attribute it to the vaccine. But the striking cases were people who were perfectly healthy, had no other medical problems. The only new thing in their life was a vaccine. And then they died with an obvious syndrome like a blood clot or heart damage, myocarditis. This is important because when these papers were originally published, the authors didn't know the full breadth of safety profiles of the vaccine. So initially, there were some autopsies from Germany. People died of blood clots shooting to lungs, and the authors concluded it wasn't a vaccine because at that time, they didn't know the vaccine caused blood clots, and we do now.
Absolutely fascinating. And maybe just give me a sense of the, you have quite a number of authors on this study. If you can give me a sense of the of who they are.
Well, I'm the senior author. Nicholas Holscher is the first author. He's the graduate student, so he did most of the work putting it together. One of our reviewers was senior pathologist Roger Hodkinson. And Roger's formerly the president of the Royal College of Pathology of Canada. So he's very experienced in reviewing autopsy findings. William Macris, who's an oncologist and interventional radiologist and certainly myself. I have extensive cardiac pathology experience at the autopsy table and the clinical pathology table. Paul Alexander, former White House advisor to President Trump, and then a host of other very important people who can help us review scientific information, Harvey Risch from Yale. Now, many of the authors are actually on an advisory board to the Wellness Company, which is an alternative health system company. And Wellness Company had no input on the paper. They did not have any review of the paper. And we clearly disclose that, as we should, in the paper.
So why do you say, and this, you know, I looked up your Courageous Discourses blog post on this issue. Why do you say that this blows the existing narrative out of the water? What is the true significance of what you found here?
The CDC and the FDA at this point in time, the official narrative is they still don't see any evidence that deaths are linked to the vaccine. And they have begrudgingly acknowledged a few cases after the Janssen vaccine, for instance. So the government narrative is still that people do not die after COVID-19 vaccination. And now we have the largest series of autopsies, and the autopsies really are incontrovertible. The patients did die of the vaccine. So it does blow the government narrative out of the water. They're going to have to wrestle with this. It garnered tremendous attention, certainly on the internet, social media, and the editorial platforms.
Well, so, and it, to the point, I suppose, where it was actually removed from the preprint server. So why don't we start with this, okay? When we hear about preprints, you have this sense that, hey, anybody can throw something up on a preprint server, so there's no validity to it. That seems to be a narrative that I've been hearing a lot, but that wasn't my experience when I was actually in academia or my understanding. What is the situation there?
You know, prior to COVID, I never used preprint servers. I'm a very experienced author. I have over 685 listings in the National Library of Medicine. I think that's tops if anyone's ever been on your show. I'm the former editor of two major journals, so I'm in this business. I never used preprint servers, but we also had a very protracted timeline for publication. Sometimes it would take 2 to 4 years to get a paper published. So now we know in COVID, we have to move quickly. The CDC extensively used preprint servers for their original work. They use it in their citations, in the MMWR and other papers. So we started to say, well, listen, you know, we need to get data out quickly. Preprint servers go through a check to make sure all the elements of the paper are there, that there are some fundamental standards, but it is not peer-reviewed by external doctors who are looking at it. And the preprint server simply offers people a chance to look at the data themselves and decide. And I think that's perfectly fair to look at the tables, look at the figures. And so that's how information has been coming out through COVID. And what happened here is, an average paper goes to about 8 journals before it's accepted. The paper went to Lancet. Lancet reviewed it. They didn't send it out for formal review, but they thought it was meritorious. So they sent it to a lower level Lancet journal. We respectfully declined because this is a very high level paper. It's going to go to a top tier journal. But Lancet did accept it on its preprint server, SSRN, and there are 2 checks that they go through to have it up on the preprint server. We took our time with this, went through the checks, and it was up on the server. And what happened next was astonishing. Downloads were happening by the hundreds per minute in the first 24 hours. And, so it was obviously we struck a very important gap in knowledge, and the world needed to know the results. And within 24 hours, Lancet shut it down. And then Lancet said, the methodology doesn't support the conclusions as the reason.
Okay, Derek. All right, there you go. Nothing like a little bit of censorship, huh, Joe?
Nothing like a great deal of censorship, denial, lies, obfuscation. Probably think of a few other good words to throw in there, but basically we have a government that just lies to us by omission and commission. And it's time that people realized the government is the enemy, and we have to clean house. There is no other choice.
You're absolutely right.
Or we lose freedom, or we lose our country.
It's no longer government of the people, by the people, but government against the people.
The people, right.
That's absolute tyranny is what we have here. And And we're required, even by our Constitution, to remove them, aren't we?
Yes. And the Founding Fathers told us that at times we would have to, even if we need a little blood, might have to be shed to keep the Constitution, to keep the freedom. They warned us against the encroachment that government tends to grow and freedom tends to be reduced. That's not an exact quote, but it's the idea that government power keeps growing, 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 and it's up to us to stop it.
Let me tell you, where I live, we have the Geauga County Tea Party, and it's an activist group. And, in fact, here in Ohio, we have a number of tea parties, and so Tom Z, a friend of mine, runs another tea party out there in the Summit County area. But tomorrow night, we have our tea party meeting, as we do monthly, and it's going to be held, as it always is, at 6:30 to 8:30 at the Metzenbaum. That's the Metzenbaum Center, and the address is 8200 Cedar Road. That's 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland, Ohio. And our main speaker will be Patty Gascoigne, and she will speak to us on issues that are important to us. For example, Ohioans are getting, you don't get any media play, only from conservative Christian talk shows like this one. But we have Senate Bill 83, House Bill 8, and House Bill 68. Now, these are all pro-family, pro-life bills, legislation. And we're going to be talking more about this as we go through this. It's pro-God, pro-family, pro-country. But also, again, she's going to be talking about Issue 1, which we've been talking about. Extremely important, August 8th. It's all about protecting our Ohio State Constitution from out-of-state concerns that invest millions and millions and millions of dollars. George Soros, the Communist Party. And folks, let me explain. These people are really Satanists. Listen to me. These people, the very same people that are a part, the ones that are pushing this so-called woman's reproductive rights, these are the same people that are involved out there and the human smuggling. These people are from the pit of hell. They're right from the pit of hell. And listen, I say, now, Pastor Uni, you're a very, very bad man. Listen, the Lord Jesus made it very clear when he told the false religious leaders like we have here. He said, you don't hear me because you're not of my father, but you are of your father, the devil.
The devil, yep.
And these people are everything. They hate God, believe me. Those that hate God, the Bible says very clearly that all of those that hate God love death. These people love death. They love death. And so here, this is why I'm trying to tell you, wake up. This is very important. Issue 1, we've got to get it done. And this is what she's going to be talking about that too. So that's tomorrow night. That's the Geauga County Tea Party. I encourage you to come out. I always open the meeting up myself. And so, and Lord's willing, I'll be there to do that tomorrow. So, again, the address is 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. So come on out and be a part of us. Again, stand for God and country. You really need to do
Abraham
that.
Abraham Lincoln put it this way. The people of these United States are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution.
Absolutely, Joe.
That's what I said. We both said it. We got a clean house, don't we? We got a dirty house, and it better get cleaned.
Absolutely. All righty. Go ahead. What's your next article?
We should touch on that President Biden thing. You really didn't comment. He was giving an interview, and he came right out and said the United States is low on 155-millimeter artillery ammunition, and this kind of really sparked some outcries because what he said was Well, I'm going to paraphrase that we're going to use cluster bombs, something that he's been against, said would never happen, we'd never use, and now he wants to send them to Afghanistan. Why? Because, well, he said this is a war relating to munitions, and they're running out of that ammunition, and we're low on it. And so what I finally did, I took the recommendation of the Defense Department to not permanently, but to allow for this transition period while we get more 155 weapons, these shells for the Ukrainians. Now, it sounded to a lot of people like he made a slip and said why he was doing something he claimed he'd never do. But at the same time, I feel like he was telling the Chinese what bad shape we're in, how our supplies are low.
He wasn't telling the Chinese, he was telling the American people. He was preparing them this for what? In other words, look, remember how we've been telling people, Joe, we've been telling people here about what we listened to 2 years ago, where the Chinese generals were speaking to their people, and they were talking about a future invasion of the United States. And here we've been warned by people, that our military, when he said our people are on the inside, they're at the very highest places in America. Now, well, what have we seen? We've seen Austin. What is he supposed to be, the Secretary of Defense? We see Milley.
Yeah.
Look, what are they doing? What did just recently that female woman general of the so-called Space Force come out? What did she tell you? Right out. She said the priority are not the defense of America, but the defense of LGBTQ. Now, what does that tell you something here? Look
yeah,
at our.
I'm going to add to that, because I don't know if you've seen this. The in the military, the Miley's getting ready to retire, Milley, and Air Force General Charles Q. Brown is who Biden wants to nominate. But he is really a real wacko, and basically he said he's going to hire, I hire for diversity. He wants to hire on the basis of diversity all the top-ranked people in the military, and he was complaining that, you know, he didn't like the court's ruling, the recent Supreme Court ruling, and he came out and said, we've got to closely manage our diverse populations to make sure their developments and opportunities aren't happening by luck. And he's talking about tweaking the screening process, and I hire for diversity. I purposely built my office, my team with diverse backgrounds, and on and on and on. He didn't say anything about protecting America, strengthening our defense posture, increasing our weapons capability, training, nothing. Everything that he's been talking about was diversity, changing the military from within with the DEI and political correctness. This is not a military. This is a social experiment, and our enemies are loving every minute of it, Pastor Ernie. They're raising training soldiers. We're training sodomites who know how to put on a dress.
Well, you know what you're talking about on Fox News. About a year ago, they brought out the recruiting films that were put out there being played, and they showed how both Russia and China, they had these mega warriors like we used to have in our recruiting films. You know, be all you can
yeah.
be.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed them, these guys in combat conditions, and, I mean, just really impressive. But then they showed ours, and they had a black female trans, one of the trans things. I don't know what a mm-hmm. trans from male to female or male female to male, whatever. But the trans thing was talking.
One with the guy in the bathing suit and trying to look like an old model that they used to put pinups on the World War II aircraft, right?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's not a soldier. Sorry. Never going to happen.
No. And so what they're going to, and what are they doing? Well, they're preparing, you know, Millie and Austin are sending drag queens out, you know, on the bases and having, you know, having put on their little programs on the military bases. Really sick. I mean, it's really, really sick what they've done. And this is coming right from Jobama Biden. Jobama himself is a wicked, evil pedophile. And people out there, folks, here, this is what God's Word, the Bible, says. This is what the Word of God says. The Joe Biden, and all those like him either repent or perish. I know some of you out there, some of you prissy preachers are saying, Pastor Uni, oh, Pastor Uni, you're such a mean, mean man. Okay, listen. God has said that they either repent or perish. And if you think I'm a mean man, wait till God deals with you, okay? You're going to know what, well, you know, God says vengeance is his, doesn't he?
Yep, he does. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yep.
And he means it. You look through the Old Testament and see where he's brought judgment and vengeance. It was swift and, well, quite violent and quite permanent, wasn't it?
Right. We're going to open the phone lines, Joe, I think, and take some calls at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. There's some good news. You know, the restaurant, fed-up restaurant owner, posts politically incorrect signs, and their sales soar. With a push for political correctness, one Texas restaurant chain decided it had enough. So the owner posted a sign letting the people know they're not bowing to the demands of others. And almost immediately their sales begin to soar. And they have a sign here. It's really good. And this was from Berry Hill Baja Grill. It's Berry Hill Baja. Jeff Annan, the CEO of Berry Hill Baja Grill, was feeling quite fed up with the sensitive. Everyone has become so. He decided to put a part to push back against political correctness. And who think that they could control everyone else's speech, according to ABC News? I bet you ABC News isn't too happy with him, but. Here's what the sign reads. It's a great big notice here. This store is politically incorrect. We say Merry Christmas. God bless America. We salute our flag. We give thanks to our troops and to police officers and firefighters. And if this offends you, you are welcome to leave, because in God we trust, Berry Hill.
Amen.
Way to go, Berry
Hill.
I have a sign
very similar to that. It warns that you will find the Ten Commandments posted. You will hear Christian songs. You'll see the American flag flying. And we respect the Second Amendment. And if you're offended, please feel free to leave immediately.
Absolutely.
Right on my front door, right under the sign that, you know, it says, in this house we serve the Lord.
Amen. We will be back right after this.
Sin is a burning thing. It has a deadly sting. Pleasure is a burning desire, but it will take you to the lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. You'll burn, burn, burn that lake of fire, that lake of fire. Christ is a saving king. He'll keep you from death stings. Sin is a burning desire. Fall into that burning lake of fire. You go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn that lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn that lake of fire, that lake of fire.
Every time I play that song, I see the faces of those witches at Planned Parenthood when I sang that song to them out there. You ought to see the look on their faces. All right. Anyhow, they said I terrorized them with that song. Boy, if they think I was terrorizing, wait till God gets hold of them, huh?
Whoa. Remember that, yeah.
All righty. We have AC. Oh, wait a minute. We got a clip I think he's going to play. Okay, here you go. Play the clip.
Protect Ohio's babies and our Constitution by voting yes on August 8th. I'm Janet Porter, and I work to pass Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion, parental consent, and our heartbeat law to keep hearts beating. But if we don't vote yes on August 8th, we could lose them all. That's because of a deadly effort to inject abortion till birth in our state constitution. The threat is real. The polls are open. Your yes vote is urgent. Protect life. Vote yes on issue 1 by August 8th.
All right, folks, we've got to get it done. Let's go to AC. Hey, AC, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey, hello.
You quoted Hebrews 9, verse 28, which says, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time." Mm-hmm. In Luke 12, verse 42 to 47, Jesus gives us a parable about looking for this second appearance. Now, Jesus clearly teaches in both Luke 17 and Matthew 24 that his second appearance has no arrival anywhere on planet Earth. So in this Luke 12 parable, which is clearly about a servant of the Lord, Jesus gives us two possibilities. In the second possibility, the servant of the Lord decides that the Lord will delay his coming. Notice that all these post, mid, and pan tribbers, the new one that's out there, are all saying the Lord Jesus will delay his coming until after the start of the tribulation period. So they are not looking for Jesus to appear in a pre-tribulation rapture. And Jesus makes it clear in verses 46 and 47 that this servant of his will miss his second coming, and that can only be the rapture, because he is looking for a delayed coming or appearance. Now, pastors, remember the 12 spies that Moses sent into Canaan?
Yeah.
Okay. 10 of those spies gave an evil report that swayed the people to delay their entrance into Canaan, right?
Right.
And it was delayed for 40 years, according to the Lord's judgment. Now, remember what happened to those 10 spies that gave the evil report?
Yep, they died in the wilderness.
God dropped them dead, okay? They never saw the promised land. And anyone who believes in any other kind of rapture than a pre-tribulation one is in for a fooling. They will be left behind.
Well, you see, but those folks he was talking about, Matthew, they were not saved people. They were not saved people. They, you know, again, they go over to Matthew 7 and it tells you, you've got those people that made they've gone and they said, Lord, Lord, in your name did I do thus and that? I cast out, I raised the dead, cast out demons. And the Lord said to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. In fact, he made a statement that the road is the wide road. Many will come, but the way to eternal life is narrow. He said, many, many will come, but few will enter. Many are called, but few are chosen. So the vast majority of people that have a profession of faith do not have a possession of salvation, and that's what is going on. If someone is indeed saved, if they have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, well, you would think, and I would think, that they would understand the truth. But I know born-again believing men, pastors I've known for years, that really do think that that we're going to either be a mid-trib, it's either going to be mid-trib or post. But, and it's I can't see how they can possibly miss what the God, what the Word of God has to say. But anyhow,
well, this parable, you know, this is one of several parables. And I mean, I agree that the ones in Matthew 7:21 were never saved because the Lord didn't even acknowledge that they cast out devils. He didn't acknowledge that they prophesied, and he didn't acknowledge that they did whatever else in his name. And he never acknowledged that because they never did those things. They made people believe it. So
I know. I know. I got to move on, but listen, thanks, AC. God bless. And let's go to, hey, Cliff is here. Hey, Clifford.
Yeah, hi. You know, I just want to relate something, a couple of things to that clip you just played. But one of the key points is these people were healthy. But there was an article in the New York Post on July 6th, which was surprising, where they talked about long vaccine instead of long COVID. And in it, they quote, for example, a woman doctor at Harvard Medical Center that said, I've had 10 to 20 people recently come in with these bizarre symptoms, and where there's smoke, there's fire. In the meantime, they quote a guy from the FDA named Peter Marks. I think he's like an executive director. He said, oh, there are some very rare side effects, but the benefits far outweigh the cost. Now, another item, too, is Maine just passed a law making abortion in the state legal for any reason up to 9 months. Now, I'm relating this to Psalm 55, where David says how he wants to just get out of the country, basically, and go into the wilderness to escape these people. And he's pleading for the Lord to join up with them, with him, and destroy them, as he says in verse 15. He said, wickedness is among them and in their dwelling. So these are a gang of killers. But the key thing I think that I relate, for example, to this guy from the FDA, at the end of that psalm it says, these people are bloody and deceitful. That's the Twin Towers. They combine killing with deceit. So what do you think about that, that Twin Tower effect at the end of Psalm 55?
Well, let me go to Psalm 55. And you say verse 16?
Well, at the very end of the psalm, verse 15, David is saying, he's asking the Lord to join up with him and put the grip of death on these people.
Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into the hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. For as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord, and shall save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even as he abideth of old. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hand against such as to be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart, and the words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. You know, the one that comes to my mind with this here is Ahab. Ahab always had war in mind, and yet, in other ways, he was, you know, he was a weakling in some ways, you know, but his words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords, and that's the way he dealt with Jezebel. But cast thy burden upon the Lord, and they shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down in the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So,
yeah,
anyhow.
That one tower effect. It's like these people that took down that study from the Lancet, bloody and deceitful, twin towers.
Right. Yep, I hear you. I would agree. So, all right, well, thanks, Cliff.
Yeah.
All right, who did you have? Okay, very good. I have, Joe, here's an article by Patrice Lewis.
Right, she is great.
The globalists are orchestrating famine, which we've known that. Sure, they're doing that. They've been doing that. This is one of the ways that they said that they will depopulate the world. And remember Jacques Cousteau? Remember the great Jacques Cousteau, who was, he was literally worshipped by so many on the left, philanthropists. But Jacques, he had a saying, and that was, the answer to world hunger is simple. You find it in the wild. The weak or the strong eat the weak.
Weak, right.
He said,
to depopulate the world. Well,
he said that there's a lot of protein in human beings, and the strong humans should eat the weak. This is, in other words, the guy was actually promoting cannibalism. This is amazing. But anyhow, this week I saw a depressing article entitled UN Issues a Famine Warning, which warned up to 80 million people will be plunged into hunger if climate targets are not met. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
They always are pushing to do, again, this whole thing is nothing but a big farce, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got the UN warning right here looking at it. Same thing. They went, our environment is burning, it's melting, it's depleting, it's drying, it's dying. All these factors will combine to lead humanity toward a dystopian future unless urgent and immediate action is taken by environmental policymakers. You and I have done story after story, starting back with early 2000, and where they have everything is urgent, the world is coming to an end. If the government doesn't step in, we're going to have an ice age. It's going to destroy the planet if government doesn't step in and do something. You know, we've heard this over and over and over. I probably have 30, 40 articles with these different warnings and threats. Not one of them has come true. Not one of them has happened. But they always ratchet up the rhetoric. And then you see right across another story, global food crisis is getting so bad that the European Union wants to reconnect a sanctioned Russian bank to the global financial system to keep the grain supply in the world moving, because a large part of the grain is tied up in Russia and Ukraine and can't get out to countries that don't grow their own. So we see that most of the food problem is because of wars and government, not global warming.
It's being created. You know, you had in Poland, you know, where they wouldn't let people, in the Netherlands, where they wouldn't let the farmers have fertilizer.
And look at Sri Lanka. They told them to quit using fertilizer, and what happened? The crops failed, the people starved, the government collapsed, and now the country's in total crisis mode with no food, no money, a government that's not stable, and all because they listened to the bright boys that said, don't use nitrogen fertilizer.
And you've got the Antichrist, this is deep state people, going around setting fires. You know, they were on film setting fires in Canada where all these fires were starting exactly at the same time. And then you could hear, even where I live, where the smoke came in, but you could hear the planes flying above the smoke. And if there was a opening, a little blue, you could see the chemtrails, that they were dropping chemtrails upon top of the smoke. And it was, and people were getting sick, getting headaches, all kinds of strange things that they've never had happen to them before. But let's go out to Minnesota. Who do we have? Terry from St. Paul. You're in the air, Terry.
Yes. Well, thank you. Pastor, unless I misunderstood that caller that called about the rapture and basically refuted the rapture and thought that we would be confused with the second coming.
Oh, no, no, he was very pro-rapture. That's a,
okay, I thought he missed it, because I was going to say that the rapture is not the Lord's second coming.
No, I know that. Yeah, I know.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. Then I stand correct. All right.
All right.
Good night.
Well, thanks for calling, Terry. All righty.
You bet.
All right.
I wanted to add something real quick. I was looking, 90% of those people in Sri Lanka are facing starvation. Irish farmers say they're going to be forced to cull up to 1.3 million cows to meet climate targets there. The government wants to cut ag emissions by 25% by 2030. The Netherlands is the world's second larger exporter of farm produce, and yet our government is proposing nitrogen emissions being lowered. It'll cost 11,000 farms to close and fail. And in Canada, Trudeau is getting ready to impose a 30% reduction in fertilizer emissions. Well, that's what happened in Sri Lanka. Now they're all starving to death. So Canada thought, gee, that's a good idea. So the farmers there are upset because this will decrease crop output, increase prices, cost farmers billions in revenue, and cost many of them to go broke. So these famine predictions are all being orchestrated by governments and by the climate change fanatics, that the communists are getting us to commit suicide so they can take over weak and destroyed nations. It's real simple. It's not.
Well, that's what we were telling you, talking about early. They're doing it. They're, you know, virtually, they're out there right in your face. We, you know, we've got a plan, and you know, this plan's going to kill a lot of you people, but that's okay. It's just so you know it's coming, right? You're not. You won't do anything about it much. Okay, you'll just scratch your head and you'll complain, but you won't really stand and fight. So.
Exactly. You and I have told people over and over, the enemy usually tells us what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. We put it out there, warn the people, and it goes ahead and happens, and there's a collective ho-hum, and everybody gets used to it happening over and over and over again. I just don't understand it, but that seems to be the human nature.
All right. How much time do I have there, Derek? Okay, Joe, you got 4 minutes. Can you tell us how to avoid that lake of fire and the wrath of God?
I sure can. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom and instruction. The Lord's gospel tells us very clearly how we how we are to act, what we are to do. We are to read and study his word. He tells us that he is the way, the truth, life. He tells us we have to repent of our sins. It says in Acts 3:19, Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. All through Scripture, the first word that Jesus said in his ministry was repent, first word. In Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're told over and over and over again that the wages of sin are death. And, well, if that's true, then we are doomed. No. God sent his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his Son to take your place, my place, upon the cross at Calvary. Our sins were paid by his shed blood on that cross for those who would accept his substitutionary death for us. What we have to do is realize that, yes, Jesus is the only way to the Father. And if we want to get to heaven, if we want to see God, if we want to have everlasting life, we have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have to call upon God and repent of our sins. The sins that put his Son on that cross, from the heart, we have to truly repent, ask the Father to forgive us. When we've done this, we will be forgiven, and then we can ask the Lord Jesus Christ, the maker of heaven and earth, to be Lord of our life, that we willingly give ourselves to him completely, without reservation. And then he will accept us into the kingdom. He will give us the down payment.
1 minute.
Of the Holy Spirit of God. That is our down payment on everlasting life. We then become our own temple, our own high priest. Our body, our living body, holds the living God. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you. He's in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we can only get that indwelling of the Holy Spirit by confessing our sins, repenting, and asking Jesus to be Lord. Then we become, Scripture said, for as many as are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the sons and daughters. So we become true sons and daughters of God, children of the kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus in everlasting life. And we now have, you know, a change in us. We become this new person. Scripture said a new creation, a new man or woman.
We know it's true. We know it's true because God said it was true, huh?
Amen. Well, I was going to say that's the key thing. Everything I've said, God has told
it's
us.
True.
It's his word.
Well, we're at that time where we come to every night where we have to say, how many seconds? Good night. God bless. Always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.